Some years ago, Mother Teresa was being interviewed as to how one person could make such a difference in the world. And her response to this interviewer was that God does not require that we be successful, but rather that we only be faithful. That whether or not we are successful in what we do and what we are called to do is entirely up to God. Our job is to be faithful to the call. Here in today's scriptures, we see three of the most, dare I say, successful people the Bible has to offer. And yet, at some point during their call, they still felt unworthy. They still had reservations about who they were. Each one considered themselves not worthy to the task. And I think that's something we can all identify with throughout our life. At some point, we have felt unworthy, either unworthy to serve God or unworthy in other areas of life. But the trick is to not let that become a reason why we don't succeed in following God's call and why we are not faithful to what he has to offer us. Because the harsh truth is, we're all unworthy. I'm unworthy to be standing here before you. I'm going to be unworthy in 6 months when I get ordained a priest, God willing, for the Diocese of San Diego. We're all unworthy. But God makes us worthy by his call. Because God is continually pouring himself out to us. And in doing so, he is calling us to share in his very life. He's drawing us to himself by allowing us to participate in the mission that he has here on earth. And that mission is to announce to the world the good news, to build relationship with one another and with God. And all he asks of us in this mission is to be faithful. Back in the summer of 1988, that was the year I had graduated high school, I got the opportunity to tour Europe. And there was a time we were in the city of Berlin. And at this time, this was about a year before the Berlin Wall fell, so Berlin was still a divided city. And I got the opportunity to spend a day in the communist sector of Berlin. And it was interesting that I brought a backpack with me, and I had some day's worth of belongings with me in the backpack. And when they had searched my backpack on the way in, the one thing they took was my copy of the New Testament. They said, you can get this on your way back out. So I had to leave that there at Checkpoint Charlie. While we were there in the city of Berlin, in the eastern sector, the communist sector, we were touring the city, and in the middle of the city is about a 2-city-block-long, it was a flower garden. And what this was supposed to be was an homage to the two fathers of communism. On one end of the flower bed, there was a big statue of Karl Marx, and on the other end, there was a big statue of Josef Engels. But what this flower bed, this 2-city-block-long garden had become, was a lot of the citizens had used it as a memorial to fallen loved ones, people who had died throughout the years. And I was kind of walking around the perimeter of the flower bed, and I was looking, people had pictures or different memorials of their relatives. And there was one picture there that kind of caught my attention. And a couple reasons why I think it caught my attention was I could tell it hadn't been there very long. And the second was, I was looking, it was a young man, and he looked to be about my age. And so I kind of walked away a little bit, and I walked back, and I looked at this picture again, and I picked it up, and I turned it over the back. It had his name on there and the date that he had died, and I noticed that he had died just a couple weeks prior. And then it also had his birth date on there, and his birth date was October 24th, 1970. And the reason why I remember that is because that's my same birthday. So when I saw that, it definitely piqued my interest and intrigued me about what this young man's story was. Why? I don't know. But something inside me said, I needed to learn something about this young man. And to this day, I remember his name. His name was Dietrich Hofer, was his name. And so I started asking people around, what was this man's story? And I could tell there was a couple of people that wanted to say something, but told me they had nothing, they knew nothing. I finally ran into a cousin of his, and he told me the story. And he says, well, he was arrested and taken to prison, and he died in prison. And I said, he's only 17. How, you know, what could his crime have been? He says, well, he died while he was being questioned because he was charged with bringing Bibles into political prisoners, smuggling Bibles into prison. And here I've never met this man. I've never met this young man. I still remember his face. I ask for his prayers very often because he may not be a saint with a big S as the church recognizes, but he is certainly a saint of God, somebody who was faithful enough and willing enough to give it all solely to bring the good news to people. And this young man, even though I've never met him personally, has evangelized me more on what it truly means to search after the heart of God than I think anybody I've ever met. But the story is that not all of us will be called to witness to love the way this man was. We are all called in our own way. Some of us will go on and do great things. You know, who knows? Father Basil might be the first American pope. You know, who knows? But we are all called in our own way. We all have our own mission. If we look at Peter in today's gospel, where did Jesus meet Peter? He met him while he was at work, doing his daily routine. And I think that this is true for most of us. That's where God meets us, in the routine, in the everyday, sometimes the mundane. It is there that God is calling us, and there is where he wants us to be his witnesses. Oftentimes, within our own homes, is the hardest to evangelize. Or at the workplace, or in our schools, or within our own community. But it is exactly there that he is calling us to be his mouthpiece, by our words and our actions. And I think it's no accident that this gospel reading comes right as we are moving into Lent. I think we need to let the words of Jesus to Peter be our call this Lent, when Jesus says, put out into deep water. I think we need to take time in our Lenten observances to go deep into the heart of Christ. Let's not make this Lent one of following the rule of giving something up because we're Catholics and that's what we do. But rather make our Lenten sacrifices ones that will draw us deeper into relationship with God, with our family, and with our community here. Make our sacrifice one that will draw us into the very life of God, one that will extend the life that he is constantly giving to us, to all those around us. The God of love calls us each by name, in our brokenness, our unworthiness, and in our human condition. We shouldn't let any of our shortcomings ever be used as the excuse to not be faithful to his call. Some of God's greatest work has been done throughout time by some of the least likely people. If there's ever a time where you're not feeling good enough or not feeling worthy to the task that God calls you, remember this. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were both too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was depressed and oftentimes suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Noemi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ a second time. Peter denied Christ a third time. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha was a worrier. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul persecuted and killed Christians. And Lazarus was dead. So don't let any of our excuses become a hindrance to being faithful to what God calls us to. Amen.